This is Zone 1 Radio.
This week at Zone 1 Radio, we pay homage to that good old British staple, the Scotch egg. The humble snack that originated back in 1738 to keep weary travellers fueled has now transformed into delicious combinations using ingredients such as black pudding and quail's eggs, oatmeal and panko crumbs to truffles, Iberico ham, duck and kedgeree. How do I know this? Well, along with the masses, I went down to the Ship in Wandsworth, which was hosting the second annual Scotch Egg Challenge. Chefs from all over the country were pitting their culinary wits against each other in this Scotch Egg cook-off. First stop, I spoke to Luke Turner, Retail Development Chef of Fortnum & Mason, to get up to speed on the history of the Scotch Egg.
You're doing a demonstration here tonight.
I am indeed, yes.
But there's a bit of a history behind the Scotch egg related to Fortnum & Mason.
So we invented the Scotch egg in 1738. The idea was it was for coachmen when they were coming down from... They were going from the city to their country estates, that they wanted something portable and a snack. And so the creation was made to have something which had protein, it had the egg, it had all those elements to it, but you could take it on your travels and then you could eat it on the way. So originally the recipe was very different to what we're used to now. So tonight we're going to sort of recreate something which is vaguely similar to what was the original Scotch egg.
Is it less meat-oriented?
So the main difference was, like, now we generally use pork meat. In those days, they would use game, a lot of game. And then also, they would also put a lot of suet through it, which we wouldn't generally do nowadays, but, you know, it's just a slight difference. And they would be really highly spiced, so... The idea was almost to hide, you know, what we're used to now is completely different to what we're all those years ago. And so it would be masking the flavour of a not very nice egg. And also the meat probably wouldn't be, you know, your fresh meat. So it was also masking all those elements. And all the spices were supposed to sort of preserve it slightly as well. So quite a far cry from your Scotch egg of today. But nowadays, you can see, you know, from this competition, everyone goes to the nice, bright, yellow, runny yolk. But that's, you know, things have changed. So, and new taste palettes have changed and everything. So, yeah, we're adapting and changing as the time goes on.
Zone1Radio.com.
You've waited for so long to be where you are and where you're coming from, and you gave it all so much, yeah, in return for human love.
In all the noise and the hubbub inside the pub, I managed to grab Kevin Love, head chef of the Hind's Head in Bray, just before it was his turn to plunge his eggs in the hot oil in the kitchen.
This is quite unusual, Kevin, to have so many people here for a competition cooking Scotch eggs.
I know, the Scotch egg is been there and gone away and come back again, so it's very close to people's hearts, so it's great to see so many people here. It's amazing.
But why do you think that is, though? It's, you know, it is a very British thing. And it seems to be having a bit of a resurgence, like pork pies and, you know, something that is true to our cuisine. And we're good at it.
We hope so, but I think that's probably all it is. It's just, it's British and we're very proud, and Jubilee year and the football and everything like that, and we're very proud of what we do in England, so I think it's just a knock-on of that we want to shout about all things English, British, and the Scotch egg is a great one to shout about. So
how long have you been preparing to get that expert Scotch egg, or is this something that you can do blindfolded because you do it every day?
We serve between 60 and 100 Scotch eggs a day in the pub. It's been on the menu for nearly 8 years, and we haven't really changed anything about it. So we just do what we do every day and hope that we do well in a competition.
This is Zone One Radio.
How do you like your eggs in the morning?
I like mine with a kiss.
Boiled or fried?
I'm satisfied as long as I get my kiss.
How do you like your toast in the morning?
I like mine with a hug.
Dark or light?
The world's all right as long as I get my hug. I've got to have my love in him.
Oh, the rest of my day is positively mayhem.
I'm a regular monster.
How do you like your eggs in the morning?
I like mine with a kiss.
Up or down?
I'll never frown. Eggs can be almost bliss.
Just as long as I get my kiss.
How do you like your eggs in the morning?
I like mine with a kiss. I like mine with a kiss.
Boiled or fried?
I'm satisfied
as long as I get my kiss.
How do you like your toast in the morning? I like mine with a hug.
I like mine with a hug.
Dark or light?
The world's all right
as long as I get my hug.
I've got to have my love in the AM.
Oh, the rest of my day is positively mayhem.
I'm a regular monster.
How do you like your eggs in the morning?
I like mine with a kiss.
Up or down?
I'll never frown.
Eggs can be almost bliss. Just as long as I get my kiss.
During the break in the judging, I managed to grab a few minutes outside with one of the judges for the Scotch Egg Challenge, the delightful chef, Sean Hill.
I'm Sean Hill. I own a restaurant and cook in it called The Walnut Tree in Abergavenny, and I'm a consultant chef at Fortnum & Mason's.
Ah, a link there, I see.
You can see it.
With Fortnum & Mason's. So I won't ask you the obvious question, but saying, how come you're here. I don't know whether that is through Fortnum & Mason.
Well, it's partly through Fortnum's. I quite enjoy doing this sort of thing, and it makes a change from South Wales. So there we are.
I'm not so sure whether you ought to be saying that it makes a change from South Wales, because obviously it's beautiful.
Well, it's beautiful, but it's not raining here. That's one of the the default position of Wales.
So what have you thought about the Scotch eggs that you've been tasting tonight?
I thought I've eaten at least four too many so far. And if I never see another one in 10 years, it's just going to be enough. And they've been very good. There's been a lot of imagination gone into them, the eggs, and so they've all been, actually quite a few of them have been quite different, except they've all got an egg in the middle and breadcrumbs on the outside. So there was a particularly nice smoked haddock one, which I like as a thing. And there have been two or three, one chap has put enough dynamite in it so she could have dropped it on the Taliban and eradicated half of them. And there was another chap who's done a sort of gentle lemon and thyme flavouring. It's been interesting.
You say there was a kedgeree one.
Yep.
But what actually constitutes a Scotch egg? Because obviously we all think of it as pork with an egg in the middle and a nice crispy coating. Is something with kedgeree Scotch egg? Is something with black pudding a Scotch egg? And I saw one which had Indonesian influence. Yeah. So, you know, are they Scotch eggs?
If they look like a Scotch egg, they're Scotch egg enough for me. I mean, if they look like they were laid by some large brown bird and taste savoury and have an egg in the middle, that'll do fine. I think Scotch eggs went into the doldrums a bit when they became sort of mediocre pub offering with nasty sausage meat and battery hen's egg cooked to death in the middle and very unpleasant yellow breadcrumbs. And so anything that sort of shows what's possible to do, well, it's all to the good.
Absolutely, because there's been a real resurgence, you know, with traditional British fare, like the Scotch egg and pork pies and everything else.
Well, you know, stuff like fish pie and shepherd's pie could do with resurgence. If you make these things with decent mince or good fish, they're just wonderful. If you make them in the sort of nasty, cynical way they've been made for the last 20, 30 years, they're not.
Thank you very much. I'm hearing them calling. So I don't know whether that's calling for you or I don't know how long you've got. But I can see you've got a nice Guinness there.
I have Guinness, yes. I have to have something to
to wash the eggs down.
Happy days. Otherwise, I won't be going to the lavatory for 3 weeks.
Songoneradio.com. Thank you.
just outside, I spotted a very excitable Oliver Payton, and during conversation, it was very apparent that Scotch eggs, in his opinion, are to be revered, and that the Scotch Egg Challenge was going to be one of the best events of the year.
How come you're down here tonight, Oliver?
Because this is one of the best things I'm going to go to all year. As soon as I found out about this, I thought, clear my diary. You know, this is about Britain, you know. The amount of interest, you sit here tonight and you look at the amount of people here, you know, Scotch egg should be an Appellation. It is about, it's about the beating heart of Britain, this is. And, you know, you can see the amount of people here tonight represents that. Everybody was very excited about being here. The amount of sort of stuff on Twitter, on online, everything. It's great. This is Britain. This is modern Britain. This is an appreciation of all things British.
And the chefs are so passionate about this.
Yeah, because it's the cornerstone of British cooking. Scotch egg is something that it's a bit like Sancerre or Roquefort or foie gras. You know, it's a very important part of British eating. It's a very important part of British pub culture. And, you know, it just shows you how far, you know, British food has come, because you have some amazing chefs here.
They are incredible, and I spoke to the chef here tonight who was doing the demonstration from Fortnum & Mason, and of course, that's the whole history of the Scotch egg.
Right, of course, but you know, I think that for me, it's more about, you know, the amount of joy that something like this brings. I mean, sometimes you go to things that are quite serious, they're quite, everyone's quite austere about it. Everybody I know that was coming here tonight was going, yeah, great, it's, you know, it feels like, you know, the joy of Britain.
It was going quite bizarrely mental on Twitter earlier today.
I know.
It was trending.
I was part of that.
Were you guilty?
I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, it's fabulous. I mean, I think the thing for me, it just shows you something that was sabotaged before by sort of large production companies, you know, making something. You know, we're taking all this stuff back. We're taking Scotch egg back. It's a serious thing. It's a beautiful thing. And the intensity of thought that goes into, you know, the making of these Scotch eggs by these chefs, they're sweating over this. This is because there's such narrow confines, in my opinion, you know, to be able to do it. So it demands a lot of skill to be able to make a difference, to win, you know, because it's not like you have 10,000 choices. There's very few ingredients. You have to, you know, impress judges who are having a lot of different Scotch eggs. You don't want to go too far off the radar. You don't want to be in a situation where it's like, you know, chocolate chip in it, you know.
You know, but there's been a few unusual ones. There has been a kedgeree.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
I was going to ask you about that, because the thing is,
it's an arancini. It's not kedgeree. It's arancini.
Yeah,
it's deli arancini.
Because what, you know, is what constitutes a Scotch egg?
Well, actually, now this is a very important point, because Scotch eggs, to me, should be within a certain boundary. I mean, really a certain boundary. And, you know, if you start going too far off the radar, if it becomes sort of, you know, we make a black pudding Scotch egg, but I don't consider it a Scotch egg. I consider it a variation on a theme. You know, I don't think black pudding has an inherent part to play in a Scotch egg. I think it's about the quality of the pork, the quality of the fat, the quality of the crumb, and your little secret twist. It's all about the quality of the fat, the quality of the pork. You know, it's a delicate thing. This demands a lot of skill.
It does. I was talking to the chef from the Hind's Head.
Right.
And
a very fine establishment.
A very fine establishment indeed.
Actually, he should be banned, because Heston's posse shouldn't be allowed in here. They're far too posh. It's going to be dehydrated fashion, though, isn't it? Dehydrated, reconstituted. You're going to have to wear headphones. You know, your mother's going to have to stand on her left leg.
I was going to say, is it going to be embryonic voices? Because it's a yolk and it's an egg.
This pig hasn't even been born yet in their one.
Very, very interesting watching all the different combinations coming out.
Right.
And I think you're absolutely right. Scotch egg, it's intrinsically British.
Exactly.
It's something, and I think for the likes of me anyway, I remember having horrible Scotch eggs.
Right.
You know, when I was a child, going on picnics.
Yes.
And now we have these beautiful creations, which are as it should be, with that beautiful pork, with a beautiful egg in the middle, and then when you cut it, you've got that slight run to it.
So much of what this Scotch egg, this is a metaphor for modern British cooking, because the fact now that we have great eggs, the fact that we have great pork, great fat, you know, chefs that are skilled enough to, you know, understand a few ingredients and how to make them good, we're reclaiming heritage here, to me. We're reclaiming the quality of British cooking, you know, confidence. It's just, I mean, to me, it's just, this is a fabulous thing. I'm super excited about it.
I can tell. You're jumping around. But of course, a lot of people will ask, about the name Scotch egg.
Yes.
And some people might associate it with it being Scottish. But of course, that's not the derivative of the name.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of Scottish people, like my chef, he takes great offence at this Scotch thing, you know. So I think Fortnum and Mason's was... I think it's a bit weird now when you look at the context of Fortnum and Mason's and the Scotch egg. I mean, to me, it's far beyond that, isn't it? You know what I mean? I think probably the reason Scotch egg is more important is because its relationship to pubs and the fact that we're in a pub, that it is an important snack food in Britain. And the way it's treated now in this context is far more important than the... I think we're at a sort of a crossroads here about how people see it, because I think a competition like this is going to transform lots of different things about pubs, because being able to go to a pub and have what I think is a substantial British tapas, I mean, it is a tapas, you know, and we're sort of, instead of having to think about arancini or croquettes or all these other foreign things, we have Scotch egg. And, you know, I think that's extremely important.
This is Zone One Radio.
bumping into Tom and Dan from Duck and Waffle, I found out who was responsible for the Kedgeree entry.
I'm here with the guys from Duck and Waffle. And they're the wrong way round, because I've just got a waffle and duck on the back of their T-shirts. Why have you guys entered this competition?
It was a bit of a joke. We saw a lot of people doing Scotch eggs, a lot of meat, game, interesting stuff, and amazing stuff. But we thought we'd slip in a fishy entry for a bit of a laugh. And it means we've got a night off together. We can have a couple of beers together, and that's it.
So you've done fish, not duck?
We've done fish. We've not done duck. We did a curried haddock dish, because we've done it before. We like it. Customers like it. It's a bit different. It's curry. It's not too different. It's kedgeree. It's haddock with curry and egg. It's the same thing, just in a Scotch egg form.
A lot of people know about you guys, because you have the most fantastic view from your restaurant.
It's not about the view. It's not about the view.
But there are an awful lot of people who don't yet know about Duck and Waffle. Is this the type of dish that you would be happy to have on your menu? And do you currently have it on your menu?
We do currently have it on the menu. It's something we do. We're both English. We have a restaurant in London, so predominantly British food that we serve. We have a lot of influence from Europe and the rest of the world. We just cook seasonal food, and if the food's in season and it's good, then we cook with it. And it doesn't matter if the dish is Italian or Spanish, we try and stay true to the originality. But yeah, Scotch egg, we've put Scotch eggs on before, and we've had sausage rolls. I mean, we've got a donut with ox cheek at the moment on the menu, so it's, we mix things up a little bit.
We like to play around a bit. So the Scotch egg traditionally is with pork, or people do it with boar and ox cheek or duck and blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of our character to play with things a little bit. So to change it, to do it with fish, to do it with the curry mayonnaise. We love the classics. We love bacon and eggs and shit like that.
But does that constitute a Scotch egg?
A Scotch egg is an egg wrapped around in meat, which is protein, and then cooked, whether it's deep fried or baked. Yeah. We've done that, but we've also taken a great British classic, which is so much forgotten, in kedgeree, which no one does. Where can you tell me, if you can tell me one restaurant right now that serves kedgeree, I'll give you a tenner.
Maybe Simpsons on the Strand.
No, they've taken it off the menu,
because they haven't done that since you adopted.
But it's a great dish. It's haddock with rice and curry,
and again, it's a very traditional,
and I say curry
British,
wrongly actually.
British
don't
dish, actually, yeah. Kedgeree,
I think it's from before British, colonial Britain. We're so new in restaurant terms. You know, we've been around for a while in London ourselves as chefs, but as a restaurant, we're only open a couple of months. Not many people knew us, and we had to do something different to get our names out there, and we made the finals, and hopefully the dish speaks for itself.
There's a lot of restaurants trying hard to be different, but we've, like Tom said, we've been in London for a long time, and this, we're very lucky to find a job where the owners share our vision, which is to just cook good food. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's inventive, whether it's classic. We do classic lemon sole with brown butter with lemon and sea vegetables. There's nothing new about that. No one's ever going to reinvent that.
Simplicity is the key to perfection, I once was told. If it's
but we also do a spicy ox cheek donut, or we'd serve raw fish on salt blocks, which are actually, horse salt lick for horses. But we like to play, but we're a little bit weird.
We cook for fun. We don't, it's a job, and you've got to love what you do. When we cook a dish and we eat it and we don't smile, then we don't, we try not to put it on the menu. It's all about, if it makes us smile, it makes us happy, and we enjoy cooking it, then yeah, it kind of goes on the menu.
The worst thing is with the Scotch egg, we put it on because we had to for this competition, and then we don't want to be known for a fishy Scotch egg. We want to be known for more than that. It's a bit like, people are sometimes known for things they don't want to be known for.
McDonald's for the Big Mac, but
exactly. Marcus Waring for the egg custard tart. I'm sure he doesn't want to live with that.
I'm sure you're not going to be known for fishy Scotch eggs.
If it does win, you can buy a 110 Bishop's Gate Heron Tower. Stuck and waffle the restaurant's called.
A restaurant called Sushi Sunday.
So much space.
inside and I headed off to the judges' table to have a word with journalist David Constable, whose mission is, I quote, to locate the very best Scotch egg in the land, from pub to club to restaurant and bar, in butchers, delicatessens and supermarkets, restaurants, outlets and food clubs. Here's what he had to say.
This is your brainchild, I believe.
Of sorts. It's the second year, but it was actually developed between myself and the ship, which is where it's being held. And it started off as a bit of banter on Twitter, but Osh, who's the manager of a number of Young's Pub, but one of them being the ship, he and I started the Scotch Egg Challenge, which was a huge success last year, but snowballed into a total phenomenon as it is this year.
Amazing looking at the number of people down here.
It's great. I think a lot of them are locals, obviously, but you know, word of mouth means a hell of a lot, and it's really spread. And you know what's great is we've got little delis and butchers, but we've also got restaurants and pubs and Michelin entries. And I think it shows off, I know the Scotch egg is something very popular, but it shows off the English bar snack and just how important it is right now.
You were saying that about the entries. How many entries are there tonight, people cooking for you, but also how many were there initially?
Well, last year there was close to 40 and it became quite difficult in the kitchen. This year there are 24 and there are 24 retail Scotch eggs, so that's Scotch eggs that the public can taste and try, and then if they like to, they can go out and purchase in bars, pubs and restaurants. And we thought it was very important to have retail Scotch eggs. Judging on last year, there were lots of people, spectators, who had a favourite Scotch egg and wanted to go and purchase it somewhere. So the reason we made it retail was so that people could actually go out there after tonight, after the challenge, and locate and find these Scotch eggs.
Because, as you say, this is intrinsically British, very, very British staple food, which 10, 20 years ago was a bit of an anomaly because it was just some horrible thing that you had in a packed lunch. It's changed by, you know, all recognition.
Exactly. I think school dinners and petrol stations have a lot to answer for. But it wasn't that long ago when, you know, people went to pubs and had something to eat. The only option they had was Scotch eggs, pork scratchings, pickled onions, if they were lucky, potatoes on the bar. And that was all the option there was. And then the ploughmans came along. And then, unfortunately, food in pubs, you know, was demolished by crisps and peanuts, you know, pepperoni sticks. And then along with this craze, the gastropub, I think individuals decided that pub snacks were the way forward, and they decided to bring them back. And they became predominant on bar snack lists again, and the public, who were already aware of them, became aware of just how good they could be done. And I do think out of all pub snacks, you know, the famous one is the Scotch egg, and it's the global star, the Marilyn Monroe of the Scotch egg, of the bar snack, sorry.
Well, you've had an enormous range of variety presented in front of you tonight. I mean, really, really across the board. With like pudding, Indonesian, kedgeree, chorizo. You've had all sorts. This is going to be a really, really difficult decision, isn't it?
Yes. I haven't made it yet. I think what's interesting from a chef's point of view, from a judge's and obviously a spectator's, you know, there are obviously three components that go into making a Scotch egg, but it's just the variety of those components. We've seen a huge variety of eggs, quails, hens, ostrich, and probably even more variety in terms of the meat it's wrapped in. It's not just a pork wrap snack. And I think looking at the entries tonight, that's proved the point. It's a great display of Scotch egg, it's a great display of British food, and it's a great display of British bar snacks. And I'm thankful that the Scotch egg is the morsel that can prove this. Yeah, I'm happy that the Scotch egg is back on the map.
They seek him here, they seek him there. his clothes aloud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds round the boutiques of London town, eagerly pursuing all the latest fads and trends, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
Thinks he is a flower to be looked at, and when he pulls his frilly nylon pants, it's raked up tight, he feels a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
There's one thing that he loves, and that is flattery. One week he's in polka dots, the next week he's in stripes, but he's a dedicated follower of fashion. They seek him here, they seek him there, in Regent Street and Leicester Square. Everywhere the Carnavician army marches on, each one a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
His world is built round discotheques and parties. Pleasure-seeking individual always looks his best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
He flits from shop to shop just like a butterfly. In matters of the cloth he is as thick as can be, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion.
He's a dedicated follower of fashion. This is Zone One Radio.
Ladies and gents, now is the highest award, the winner of the 2012 Scotch Egg Challenge. At the ship in Wandsworth, we have a truffled ham, egg and chips duck egg. We have a truffle mayo with potato and parma ham breadcrumb. Ladies and gentlemen, the Blaine Bolian, congratulations.
The winner announced I was the first to grab the chef of the Blaine Bolian, Kieran Puri. And to say that he was pleased was an understatement.
How cool is this?
Yeah, very cool. We were fortunate enough to be in last year's one, and we came third, and we wanted to come back and put something different on. And to be honest, it's taken our words away. We didn't expect to win, and you're up against people like Heston Blumenthal, Mike Robinson and Brett Graham, who are just huge chefs, and for our little pub to win in the middle of nowhere in the deepest, darkest Berkshire countryside.
Well, you're not in the middle of nowhere, deepest, darkest Berkshire. You're in Bucklebury.
We are in Bucklebury, yes. It's a wonderful place. We're hugely supported there, and a lot of our friends have come down from Bucklebury with us today, and we're so fortunate to have amazing support. Amazing support.
So what was your winning combination? What was your Scotch egg?
We kept it really simple, and we just thought what works, and half the batter was already made for us, so half the decision was made for us. It's an egg. It's got sausage meat around it, which is in essence ham, and we just changed the breadcrumb to a potato to make it ham, egg and chips, and then we put a little bit of luxury into it by infusing it with truffles. And thankfully the judges, an incredible panel of judges as well, gave us the winning egg, and I'm absolutely speechless. We're blown away by it, and to like be up here with chefs of this caliber is one thing, and to actually walk away with this little trophy is another thing.
It's not a little trophy. This is quite a big trophy in the way that staple dishes like Scotch eggs are now it's coming back and it's being recognised as these are true British staple dishes, and we need to be proud of them.
Absolutely, and there's so many dishes like that, and it's one of the things that we try and do at the pub, and that's retain our own style, retain our own understanding of where we come from. We're so local, we constantly shoot, we constantly forage. I mean, the ducks were laid by a friend of mine's ducks, the sausage meat came from a friend of mine's pigs. The truffle obviously comes from Italy, and the
oh, not Berkshire truffles.
Not Berkshire truffles. There are Berkshire truffles, and I'm sure if the Harwood Arms had done a Scotch egg with truffles, they'd have had the Wiltshire truffles or slash Berkshire truffles, because
they are there. We do have Berkshire truffles.
We do, and we're so fortunate in where we live as well, because we do live in the larder of the UK. We have everything on our doorstep. We have game, we have venison. People rear for us. We grow our own. Other people like come and give us what they've got. We're so fortunate to live in one of the greatest larders of the world. And a lot of people forget sometimes how great English food is, British food is, and you don't need to look further afield than our wonderful island. You really don't. People have almost, I don't want to say regressed, but they've gone back to what's simple. It's almost what grandmother made. And to do the simple things well, that's the art. Anyone can make something look great on a plate, but it's how it eats. And
is a Scotch egg a normal staple on your menu?
Absolutely. We have Scotch eggs that we revolve and rotate around, and so the ham, egg and chips one will obviously now stay on the menu for a little bit longer based on this. But we've done so many varieties over the year that we've been there. We started off with a duck egg covered in confit duck, again with truffles and the panko breadcrumb, and now we've just progressed to this. On the way we've had venison, black pudding, pig cheek. I saw somebody else had done here tonight,
yeah,
but we've done exactly the same,
and all sorts of stuff going on tonight.
And to be honest,
there?
those are the things that people should be eating. So we're so focused on like protein meats and like individual cuts and so on, but we need to get back to our nose to tail eating. And I'm not the person that has like reinstigated this whole new regime of people using nose to tail. If anyone, in fact, in this country, there's one person who has been the shining light, and that's Fergus at St. John. And you know, we have his books in the kitchen, and we take whole carcass of animals, and we've learned to utilise the best of them. And we wouldn't be here today, 15 years after St. John started, if it wasn't for them, and also the way that they teach people and the way that they bring their ethics to the mainstream. All I'm doing is continuing a theme that other chefs have laid before us, and I'm just really fortunate that I've grown up in a generation and I've been taught by some great chefs who have shown me how to do that. And for that, I thank the chefs and I thank the farmers, really. It's the farmers, really and truly.
You deserve this award, and enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Get out your measuring cups and we'll play a new game. Come to the front of the class and we'll measure your brain. We'll give you a complex and we'll give it a name. Get out your measuring cups and we'll play a new game. Can't have the cream when a crop and the cream are the same. Oh, liquid gas, no more than the glass will contain it. When you talk about the hand of glory, a tale that's rather grim and gory. Is it just another children's story? It's been declawed. When the tales of brothers grim and gory, you've been outlawed. Gonna make you start over. You don't wanna start over. Put your backpack on your shoulder. Be the good little soldier. take your places now, cause we're all predisposed. Measuring cups, play a new game, front of the class, measure your brain, give you a complex and we'll give it a name. Oh no, when you talk about a hand of glory, a tale that's rather grim and gory, it's just another children's story. It's a bender claw. Tales of brothers grim and gory have been outlawed. So put your backpack on your shoulder, be the good little soldier. It's no different when you're older, you're predisposed. That's all for questions now. The case is closed.
Signing off now, full of eggs and British pride, why not listen to other Zone 1 Radio shows at zone1radio.com. Follow Zone 1 Radio on Facebook at facebook.com/Zone 1 Radio and on Twitter at Z1 Radio.
Check you up.